Hey there, welcome to our SAS Academy AMA sessions. This is actually a re-recording. We were recording a live one a few weeks ago, but that didn't work so well. So we are doing this for you today, again with Anay, our SEO lead at SAS Group, and Benjamin, product marketing specialist at keyword.com, our beloved brand that we acquired a few years back, to tell you a little bit more on how to improve visibility in AI search. It has been quite confusing lately, and I'm wondering if you guys know what it is and how to do it right. So, yeah, let's start with your backgrounds, maybe what you do, and yeah, why you think this is now what all the SEO specialists, marketing specialists should be doing. Annie, let's start with you.
Yeah, sure. I'm Anay Visa. I'm SEO lead at SAS Group, and I work across the majority of our brands in different or various capacities, from consultation to strategic support to full-on management of campaigns. Really depends on what's needed. And we do custom plans for every brand we have. And yeah, I've been in the SEO field for about 13, 14 years now. And this is a big shakeup this time. So looking forward to talking about it.
Cool, thank you. Benjamin?
Hi, yeah. So my name's Benjamin. I work for keyword.com, been there for about 2 years now. Time flies very quickly. SEO has always been part of my work during my 6 years now of working B2B SaaS across different industries. But only now recently, after joining keyword.com, which is a rank tracker, have I really taken a strong interest into it. And we've released our AI visibility rank tracker, which tracks your brand mentions across ChatGPT, Perplexity, Gemini, basically everything that falls under the umbrella of AEO. And now I've taken a serious interest in this specific topic of SEO, subtopic of SEO, however you look at it. And it's something that, is going to drive forward the SEO industry. These platforms are becoming more and more important. AI mode has just been released in the context of, as opposed to SEO, AEO, where you deliver an answer and users are looking at answers instead of looking at links of websites and landing on landing pages. This is something that's becoming more and more prominent now. So this is a topic that everyone should really be paying attention to.
Cool, thank you. So you just called it SEO subtopic and then AEO, and then there is GEO. So first of all, okay, let's come to terms. What is the favorite term that you guys use, and what is it actually? So this generative engine optimization or LLM optimization, call it what you want, but what is it and how is it different from SEO? Anu, what do you think?
Actually, my answer would be slightly different this time than what it was in our live recording, actually, because things change so fast, or it, not it changes, but evolves so fast across this industry. And I'd still say my preferred term to use is AEO, so answer engine optimization. And the reason for this is because I feel like it's a bit broader in terms of its description of what it is. It includes that your interface of where you're interacting can be anywhere, and that your answer is pulled into whichever is that answer engine. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're in ChatGPT or Perplexity's chat interface or application. So that's where, for example, LLM optimization, I usually think that means for that purpose of being within the chat itself. But at some point, and we're getting there, luckily, very quickly, it seems like it's starting to settle a little bit more. People are getting or starting to learn more about this technology and understanding it a little bit better. So there's more clarity. And now it is being put under SEO. So, and I agree with this as well. Although there is certain things you have to do that's different to what you're, I don't like to use the word traditional SEO because there's not really such a thing, but it's obviously there is different tactics and tasks and things you have to do or focus on and prioritize that you wouldn't do before LLMs were a thing, but it's still just, it was like that too when we had just on-site and then just technical SEO and then came on-site and we that enhanced or increased the amount of work we did and the tasks we've done, and same happened with off-site. So this is just another extension. It's the same when I actually can compare it to when local SEO became a thing, because with local SEO, you didn't have Google Maps before. I mean, at some point we were doing SEO on Google Plus. So, and that died, right? That truly did. But we did local SEO. We started doing it because of the fact that Google Maps started existing and because of Google My Business that started existing, which was a new platform or a new place to interact. And then we adapted and we started doing optimization for that. And this is basically the same thing. So this is a new platform or platforms, and we're figuring out how to do optimization for that. So it makes sense that it's just evolving and adding on tasks to things you already have to do and what you already have. So it's just adding on to the umbrella of what falls under SEO. But
yeah, that
my
makes
personal
sense.
Favorite term is AEO.
AEO. Benjamin, do you have a personal favorite or is still choosing?
No, AEO as well for me. I mean, for me, I don't have as much experience as Annie in SEO, so the context is a bit different. But the way I view it is that for SEO, the work you're doing is you're trying to, when you consider in the traditional sense, which is no longer applicable today, you're trying to increase your keyword rankings. You're trying to increase website traffic. You're trying to get people to enter onto your website and interact with your content. When it comes to AEO and the way users use these platforms, they're not necessarily looking to get a list of websites and go onto a specific website to find their information. They want to get their information straight away within a few seconds from this answer, right? So the point of AEO in this case is that you want to make sure that you're part of that answer when you're working on your website. If you consider, for me, AEO, you want to make sure that within that answer that's being generated within whatever platform that may be, I think that AI overviews is a good one to illustrate because it's so prominent in everyone. I mean, it's all over Google now. You want to make sure that whatever piece of information is popping up there, it can be either from your website or from, it can be used by citing part of the content that's from your website into the answer there. So that's, I think, a big difference in SEO versus AEO, while the two are very related to each other. And also that also entails that the KPIs, your performance metrics tied to AEO are not going to be exactly the same as SEO. You're not going to be looking at keyword rankings. You're not going to be looking at organic traffic as much. You're going to be looking at different metrics to measure the success of your AEO campaign. So the two, while very similar, are somewhat distinct in the sense of how users behave with these platforms and how you measure the performance of your campaigns on these platforms.
All right, cool, thank you. So, I think it's my main question, and probably everyone in the audience, is, you know, what is the biggest difference and how to work on it, right? Because, okay, you want to rank on ChatGPT. You have all seen probably all those LinkedIn posts that are now becoming so popular that, okay, our next growth came from ChatGPT. We generated $1 trillion from ChatGPT. How do you do that, right? Do you have to drop everything that you've been doing with the SEO and change it, this strategy, and somehow adapt it to ChatGPT? And do you guys know how to do it? Or, you know, if you've been kind of doing a good job already and you're ranking on Google and you have been actively working on, you know, your presence on Reddit and on some other websites where you can be cited, you can pretty much continue doing what you're doing. Anne, what do you think?
Yes, there's like a three-part answer to this. I'll start with the first one. Since we actually did our recording, Google did come out again and say for AI overviews and for AI mode for them, You have to continue doing things that you've been doing in the past with optimization. There's no difference. They will be using their same systems to determine what gets shown and what doesn't. Of course, there is maybe some other things that get weighted or prioritized over them in terms of their ranking factors and so on. But from what they've said is a lot of the things that mattered before is mattering now, like your on-site optimization, using semantics, your proper like connections between pages. You still have to care about core vitals and page speed and the layout of your pages and the structure of it and all of these things. So there's a lot of things that still, and they focus a lot on intent matching again. So there's a lot of things that we're used to doing in SEO that is completely transferable. So number one, if you're doing your SEO work, you cannot hurt your AEO for the sake of calling it that efforts at all. And the other way around too, if you're doing what we currently have seen from industry studies and things where people have been able to prove some of the AEO work across many websites, if you're using one website, then that could have a chance that it's not like you were just lucky or there's not. But if you get these big agencies and they're able to test over 1,000 websites or more, and they're able to publish studies and so forth, and there are common denominators starting to emerge. And these are the things that are starting to form our new like tasks or things we're trying to do. So with that, of course, yes. And then the other part I wanted to say is the sites us doing, like for Google AI mode and for Google AI overviews, you're doing your usual SEO work. For LLMs, of course, we've seen for ChatGPT in the past used to be much integrated with Bing, and now there's some proof that they might be moving away from Bing and they are using Google more again, which means you have to do well at Google now again. And then you also, ChatGPT has mentioned how they want to like move more into search, and Perplexity has mentioned how they want to start doing ads. So these models are still evolving, and they're like, there could be many business changes that impact like how they or what direction these platforms go in or what they become. So that kind of makes it that you're always in a position where you have to adapt as things are happening. And then the optimization you do there is slightly different. I mean, if you've done semantic optimization for a while and you've done embedding and all these kinds of things, then it's not so new. It doesn't feel so new to you, because this is a concept that also is applicable to LLMs. And I think if you're an SEO specialist where you've not done that and you're now thrown into this world where you have to do this, it feels a lot like maybe feels a lot new to you because you've not done that before. But it's a big part, and it's like something that overlaps on both sides. And and then there are, of course, other things that you could, you have to think about, like when you're doing on-site optimization for out, like if you're thinking about how to be included in LLMs, it matters more what you say on the page. There shouldn't be any fluff. Like every sentence structure matters. Every sentence matters. There's an algorithmic approach to all of it because every word gets recognized in context to something. So it gets pulled out. And if you don't say it clearly and you're writing, unfortunately, I would say in some cases very creatively, and you're using some like of that, then the LLM might miss the context because you have to be very clear, unfortunately. And the third thing I wanted to say was, besides LLMs and besides Google and Bing and so forth, it's made people comfortable to search other places as well. So it's not just AI or search engines, it's also maybe people just go to Reddit, maybe people just go to LinkedIn. It's like people are more comfortable with finding their information on other places. And that's the third layer to it. So that means that you have to balance your work, your SEO work, where you do based on your situation, your brand KPIs and what you have, your product that you have. It does make a little bit of a difference where you put most focus and your audiences and so on. But it's important to create a good balance between all three of those different scenarios.
It's interesting that, you know, it's the second time that you're saying, okay, so 3 weeks have passed from our AMA. And what I said there, scratch that, it all changed already. So, you know, every time you go to LinkedIn and read about all those amazing success stories, maybe double check when they happened, and maybe something like this wouldn't happen anymore to you. But it's also interesting what you said about how the content should be structured and how it cannot really be super creative now. So what basically stops me from writing my creative article, but then going to ChatGPT and saying something like, okay, so take that and change it so that it's easier for you to read it and index it, whatever. Is that kind of a hack that a lot of people use, should use? Is it being, you know, used at all? What's your take on this?
It's a good start. I actually created a custom GPT for, like, we have in our team, a custom GPT that criticizes any page, basically, based off of how ChatGPT would interact or understand that information. And we've tested it a few times, and after actually implementing not all, but some of the recommendations, we thought, like, okay, cool, that made sense. That was a good point. And we've done that. It had a massive difference in, like, the result of it. So that works, but it's not fully like the thing that you should just be doing. The embedding data is based on database, and you need the accurate data for that, and the actual data. So that's a process that you have to do. And luckily these days, like, Screaming Frog has had this update, so we're able to use a big part of this with Screaming Frog. Before, you had to do like a script, and it was a bit more complex to execute or do. You had to build your own solution. But now it's a little bit easier because you can use Screaming Frog to get this information. But basically, what happens is, besides your content that you're creating, and yes, you can use ChatGPT to, as I said, it's definitely better than not doing it. So you can get really good information from it. What I also like about it usually is that it will give you some logical recommendations. It would say, you are mentioning this, but you don't elaborate, so it's not clear to the person. So think about that.
Okay.
Sure. It makes sense. I got it. So it just helps overall with the readability, the quality of what you're saying, and so forth as well. And it will give you those suggestions of what to include. But there is a real data layer to it that we have to incorporate into it. And like, if you're doing it that way, it won't give you that data. So you still need, for example, and I'm not saying you don't necessarily need an SEO specialist, but you do need a specialist that knows how to get that data and to then incorporate that in there. And then you have to make sure they're connecting in the right way as well. So if you can imagine this massive web, or like a spider's web that breaks into smaller spider webs, and they're all connected, and you could imagine how one concept needs to be connected to some other concepts, and so forth and so forth, and you have to do that, and there is a method to this, or a formula to it, and that goes beyond just what we, like, it's not something you can think about, it's an actual database, and you have to determine what they are, how related all these concepts are, how relevant they are, and then either elaborate on some, make sure you incorporate some of them on your website, and then the layer of matching that to your brand and your ICP is, like, there's a lot of, like, thinking that goes into then, like, proper planning. So I would always say use a specialist to help with navigate this, because it's a lot. It's totally worth it, because it is going to transfer, and it's going, if you do this, you'll do well with your SEO and with your AEO. And then, of course, there's the backlink, offsite, that's also important for AEO, brand mentions across the web. That's other challenges. You have to figure out how to scale that and to make sure that you can get your brand mentioned on many places, because mentioning your brand once with your features not going to be enough for it to be picked up by LLMs unless you're in such a super niche that there's no competitors in what you do and it's very unique. But other than that, like for example, keyword.com, very competitive space. So there's a lot more work for us to do to be able to make sure that the visibility is there.
So you can just say yes to that offer on LinkedIn to buy all the backlinks in the world for $5.
A bit more complicated than that.
Okay. Well, Benjamin, what are you guys doing differently now? Because you also have your visibility tracker. Mm-hmm. See any results there for keyword.com already? And yeah, do you think you have cracked the code?
Okay, cracking the code. I mean, as anesthetic, everything could change within 2-3 weeks.
In the last 3 weeks.
So there's two parts to it. One part is this digital PR component. And I think Anne raised a good point there. It's because at the end of the day, these LLMs, what they're doing is they're playing a numbers game. They're predicting what sentences go together based on the pattern they see, based on topics, keywords, and yes, like competitors that they scrape throughout the web. So obviously, if you increase your mentions, you increase your code recurrence, you increase your associations between different topics, phrases, industries, competitors, and then you scale this, these LLMs pick that as a factor that means that they can trust you to cite you in their specific answers. And that's something that we've been struggling with quite a bit because, as Anna said, keyword.com is in a very competitive space. We have Ahrefs, we have SEMrush, we have SC Ranking. Not only are these big tools, but these are big SEO tools doing a lot of SEO work. And so by nature of this, they're very good at their SEO. They're mentioned on all these different listicles across the web that they're adding themselves in or have their partners where they work with who then add themselves in as well. And they have this whole ecosystem they've been working with for a while now that they've implemented that naturally lends well to them being mentioned in these platforms, whereas keyword.com is a lot of work to catch up with that. So there's two parts to it. One part is this classic link building, link exchange outreach that I've been working on. So I'll go into keyword.com, I'll find the relevant prompts that I want to track. I'll analyze what types of citations ChatGPT, Perplexity, Gemini are actually citing when coming up with their answers. And then I'll have to manually find who the author is, find who the person who wrote the content is, and then try to find a way to build some collaboration efforts to then see if I'm able to get keyword.com mentioned there in return for some type of mention or some type of link placement on one of my content, which is why, again, the SEO work remains important to do within this AEO space, because you never know when your strong SEO that you've done in the past can be used as a way to improve your AEO by saying, hey, listen, we have some strong SEO, we have some strong blog posts. How about you mention us in this listicle here and we can give you some link exchanges back on some of these blog posts here. So that's one part of the work. The second part as well is we want to then create these listicles that get cited, or we want to create the content. I'm talking about listicles in this case because a lot of the prompts I'm interested in are like, what are the best rank trackers for SEO agencies? What is the most accurate rank tracker? And so then we also want to create this content. So we want to analyze why a specific piece of content or a listicle is being cited in these AI platforms. What is it they're doing that is making them be trusted by ChatGPT and all these other LLMs, and see if we can replicate this as well. So that's something that we're working on. That's a much more long-term type of strategy because it does take time to build these listicles. It does take time to go into each of the different types of products and say valuable information beyond what you just see on the internet and beyond what you can just summarize with AI. It does take a lot of effort. So there, in that respect, it's taking a bit more time, I would say, to see the benefits. But through some of the link building exchanges that we've done in some of these influential pieces of content that are being cited by these LLMs, we're actually seeing some benefits. So AI visibility is going up for keyword.com. And then you can see that as well through the referral traffic in GA4 that we're seeing more and more ChatGPT referral traffic. So long story short, have I cracked the code? No, this is something that we're still working on. And that we're going to be documenting as well, so that we're able to then also give this information out to see like what has worked, what hasn't worked, what has worked over the long term, what has worked over the short term. But it's very much a work in progress type of work, which is very exciting because it's something that's completely new. And as Annie has said, it changes every 2-3 weeks. So one thing that might have worked this week might not work next week. But all the work you do compounded in the AEO space is not going to hurt your SEO. It's only going to improve it. And if we return back to, if we go from SEO to AEO back to SEO, because at the end of the day, Google rankings just remain a strong factor for these LLMs, then whatever work you do in the in all of those different areas are going to complement each other at the end.
Yeah.
I was just reminded of something that is important that I've noticed. A lot of people don't think about when it comes to LLMs, and while Ben was, he raised a point that reminded me of it. So one thing that people don't think about is positioning and your product as well, and whether you're using the right word to describe your product. So for example, a few months ago, when these things started coming out, when we were already starting with keyword.com, like trying to optimize it or figuring things out of how to get it into LLMs, it would often be omitted from the results within ChatGPT, and I couldn't figure out like why. For example, they said for SEO keyword tool, so on. And then I just one day, and I know it's not the perfect formula to do this, but I did ask, okay, why you keep omitting keyword.com from the suggested list? And it said, while keyword.com is a great tool, it does not have keyword research, which is usually seen as a feature that's part of a full keyword tool. And then I went to our AI department and I asked them, is general consensus a real thing like this, where there's a predefined almost like expectation or definition of what something is, and then if you don't fulfill all the criteria, you're not mentioned? Is that a case? And there is some truth to that. So it can also happen. So if your product doesn't have certain features or things, and you're positioning or calling yourself something, then it might influence whether you're included or not in these answers as well. And since then, keyword.com did get a keyword research tool, and we did get the AI overviews tracker and the LLM tracking and all of that. So now it is really a full tool, and this has probably also helped with in being included in any of that stuff. And we optimized, like once those features rolled out, we optimized everything, or updated everything, or we had access to optimize across the web. Like, the YouTube channel description, the LinkedIn company page, all the SaaS directory listing, like everything, we made sure that these features were mentioned on and were there, and some other key pages where it made sense to have that on as well. So yeah, that I think obviously contributed to this, and Ben's been doing a lot in the offsite space as well to innovate that even more. And yeah, so this is another part of it that I think.
Yeah, that's a great example. Thanks for sharing this. I mean, I didn't know that happened. And I feel like that's such a cool, well, little thing that turned into a lot of work, but ultimately helped you guys. So something that I want to come back to, Benjamin, is something that you mentioned about the prompts, right? And we obviously want to know where ChatGPT mentions us or whatever it is. And yeah, how to choose the prompts that I want to look for. And also just the way you phrase that, I think the prompts that you mentioned were, what is the best keyword ranking tool, and a few more. So the way I would work with Google, I would just say best ranking tools.
Right.
So on ChatGPT, it's a bit more, let's say, conversational. So I would actually ask a real question.
Right.
Is that what is happening here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very complex topic, because at the end of the day, unlike Google, these platforms don't provide the data behind what is being, what types of prompts are leading to a specific website visit when there is an actual link that's displayed in the chat, right? So you're unable to see what type of prompt there's actually leading to a website visit on their website. So you need to formulate a bit of a strategy when it comes to finding these types of prompts that you want to be tracking. And so, yeah, obviously you need to think about it in the sense of it's a conversation and it's more of a question, almost like a long tail type of keyword that you're going to be typing into these platforms. You just really need to think about how you're typing into these platforms and put yourself in the shoes of your potential user and what they would be typing into ChatGPT or any other platform. The second one is really, I think it's good to have like a list of prompts that you want to be tracking. The first one, you need to think about the semantic intent behind your prompt that you're tracking. So what is the end result of this specific prompt? And a lot of people get confused, especially with keyword.com, they get confused because they're like, I don't know what to choose between. What are the best streaming services, for example, or which streaming services to use? But at the end of the day, the semantic intent in that those two different prompts are very similar. That is, they're trying to find the best streaming services to watch movies or series on. And so the results aren't going to dramatically differ between the two when it comes to the output that these LLMs actually show you. So I wouldn't worry too much about the small differences in those prompts. I would worry just more about what is the semantic, the interest, what is the actual result that the user wants to see from the specific prompt? What is it they're trying to achieve? And then I would then add variations to this. So that's what we do, is just we add variations. So you can add variations by industry, you can add variations by use case. There's a whole bunch of different things that you can do there. And so you just want to try to choose the most that make the most sense to use. For example, for keyword.com, I'm interested in the prompt, what are the best keyword rank trackers, right? Obviously, that's something that I want to be appearing for there, but I'm also interested in seeing how we show up for different use cases, such as what are the best rank trackers for SEO agencies? Maybe also for different features, what are the best rank trackers for reporting? What are the best rank trackers for keyword research? And so I think that you should basically do that type of work. And you know, you don't have to stop there. Obviously, I'm talking a lot about what are the best rank trackers, because those are prompts or keywords or search terms that many founders or just businesses are going to be super interested in because they're bottom of the funnel. But you could also track prompts that have to do with specific needs that you might be answering. For example, I mean, in the case of affiliate marketing, you don't want to just know, for example, what are the best affiliate marketing solutions, but you also want to be cited for responses such as, you know, how to recruit affiliates effectively, or what strategies work best for affiliate recruitment. So those are also types of prompts that you should be tracking and should be seeing how visible you are in them, because they relate directly with a specific need that your business fulfills. I don't know if that answered the question.
It did, yes.
This episode is sponsored by Rewardful. Looking for new ways to find customers for your SaaS business? Consider building an affiliate program. Rewardful is the easiest affiliate tracking platform to set up, manage, and scale for SaaS companies. Building a successful affiliate program can be a little bit intimidating at first, and that's why Rewardful has taken what they've observed from their most successful customers' affiliate programs and distilled that into an exclusive online course. The exciting part? Their affiliate marketing course is absolutely free. Start the course at academy.rewardful.com. academy.rewardful.com. And turn your biggest fans into your best marketers.
I want to a little bit to add to this question a little bit. And maybe you know this because I feel like a month ago we talked about this and you said there is so far no real numbers or nowhere to see how often the prompts are used. So is anything changing right now? So like, is there some data, some, you know, KPI that we can use here to make this prompt search a bit more data-based?
Yeah, well, at some point, that's the most important part, right? Is that we have to start making more data-driven decisions when it comes to the campaigns and optimization. Otherwise, you're just guessing prompts, maybe based off your content library or what you think, but it doesn't mean other people are turning to LLMs and asking similar questions or so on. So one way you can do it is to use the look at the autocomplete function in ChatGPT. If you have, I'm using ChatGPT Pro, so I'm not sure if this is available on the free platforms, but when you start typing in your question, it autocompletes or guesses a few of what you could be asking. So that could be one way where you can find this information. On Perplexity, they've got the trending topics. You can find things there as well. And then within Bing Copilot, you can, if you go into Bing Copilot, there's a way that you can see some other reasoning data. So you can see the keyword layer that's getting used when you've typed in the prompt and like how it dissected that prompt into different keywords and then it did the search. So you can get some of that information. And then Ahrefs has also a comprehensive keyword database, and they've got a lot of long tail keywords these days in there, and they indicate some search volume there as well. So, and a lot of the terms that these days gets input that you find in their database looks like prompts. But this could also just be because of, and in your Google Search Console, the same thing is starting to happen. But this could be because AI Mode was launched in the USA and people are interacting that way in Google Search Box. And now that is being recorded. So it could just be that. But again, people are starting to be much more specific even in Google Search now because of how they're used to chatting and interacting. And another way is to still just use your keyword research tools, use like keyword.com or whichever or other one you prefer. But, and especially people also ask look at questions as well, because you could assume if something is a popular question and gets asked many times in Google, it won't be unique to Google. That need exists still somewhere else too. So people are most likely also asking very similar questions to in a different platform that they're going to. It's not that they'll have necessarily different questions. So that's also another way that you can find this information. But there's no accurate method at this point with any of the LLM tracking where you can determine search volume, like the metric we're used to having. What you could do, and it could be a clue for you, is to see the amount of times your article has been shown or cited in an answer over 30 days period or something. That's the frequency of that can at least give you a clue of what pages or content topics is frequently shown in terms of how many times you were cited in an answer over a 30-day period. That could give you some sort of clue as well as to what's more popular and what's not. But unless ChatGPT, Perplexity, and then they have to bring out data on their side for us to be able to get accurate, very accurate or more accurate information, which is, you know, you've got that in Google Ads, keyword planners, where most of the time the search volume comes from when we do keyword research. So, yeah.
Absolutely. How much do you guys now use ChatGPT or Perplexity or whatnot against Google? Have you moved completely, or is it 50-50? I'm not talking about work, just your general life.
I usually actually start with ChatGPT, and then depending on how I get the answer off the follow-up question, if not satisfied with what I'm getting, I'll go to Google. And if I have doubt in what the answer is, so if something's more serious of a topic, or something that's related to my health, or to something I'm researching that's like maybe even financial, or also where I actually want to be presented with more than one option, then I start with ChatGPT. I kind of like see what it says, and then sometimes that influences how I go search in Google. So then I go and I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense, because I might not know a lot about the topic. So ChatGPT is obviously good at giving that first part of that information. It's like, oh, that's what I'm looking for. But then I go to Google and I research it there. I'll give you one example. One of my pets were very sick recently, And I wanted to read up on the particular sickness. It's not a common thing. And I went to ChatGPT, of course, so that I explained whatever the vet told me. And it told me it's most likely this is the proper name for this disease or this thing. And I did ask ChatGPT to explain a little bit, but then I decided, no, WebMD PET is probably like the best, there's like a version of, I'm not sure if it's WebMD PET, but there's like a forum where actual vets participate on, and it ranks really well on Google and it's often there. So I decided I would rather read the opinions of actual vets than what gets pulled and summarized in ChatGPT. So I went to Google and I searched for it and I looked at a few different vet practices and actually went and read up on it on veterinary websites where doctors have written about it, and also some of the forums where people discuss this in depth. And so in that sense, I use Google still because I want to be presented. I want to make the choice of where that information source is from. Whereas with an LM, you don't choose the information source. You kind of have to trust it's picking the right one for you. And sometimes you want to have that choice. I don't know if everyone's that critical of their information sources. I'm like very big on, like, in general on misinformation and things like that. So for me, it's more important to know what I'm consuming and where I'm consuming it. And yeah, so I think if you people that are, that care about these, like if where your information source comes from, they'll probably search in a very similar way than I am doing. But yeah, again, it comes down to what I said earlier. You have to know your audience. You have to know your ICPs really well. And it kind of influences, it's such an intricate, like, I don't know what to call it exactly, but like very intricate now, layering in terms of where you say what and what messaging you put out where and where it will resonate the most. I mean, you could put a message on LinkedIn, but if you put that same message on YouTube, it can be the same message, but it will hit better on, it will be just hit better on YouTube than it did on LinkedIn. So again, you have to know your audiences very, very well. And that's also something I think is coming back. It used to be part of marketing way back when, before we had any advanced like SEO things or so on. And Google made it relatively easy when it was just them and you had to just kind of do SEO and you rank well on Google. It kind of spoiled us because everything started and stopped within the Google environment. And whether you were running ads or you were doing search, was it very much like a nice, comfortable bubble, and we didn't realize how comfortable it was. But now that's the nice part of it, is actually sometimes it feels just like proper marketing also coming back again, where you know your audience, you know buyer psychology, and like all of these things matter as well.
Right. Yeah, also feels like 1960s billboard marketing is back too, where you just want to be known by everyone and you want your brand to appear everywhere.
Maybe we should all switch to B2C, start buying candy factories. That would be a fun experiment. Benjamin, are you using ChatGPT more than Google now?
It depends for what. So I think that, I mean, for searching, I would say it's the same thing as Anis. So I like to do a lot of my research there just because I love the fact that you just get a curated answer in seconds that's personalized to exactly what you're asking for. But there is a level of hallucination. These systems have not yet implemented the right algorithms to fact check and make sure that all their sources are 100% accurate. So I do end up actually going onto the websites that are being referenced and double checking what ChatGPT is actually saying to me and if it's correct and if I'm satisfied with the answer. So I'm very likely one of those referral traffic in Google Search Console that's appearing on those websites. But it's completely changed my life when it comes to actually doing a lot of my marketing work. So, yeah, I know, for example, on the website back in the day, I would have to, for example, if I had a problem with HTML, I would have to go onto these, dev forums. I would have to ask questions. I would have to look at like why my HTML structure or what I'm doing wrong with my CSS or whatever it may be on my website that's causing me to have this weird interaction or something not popping up. Now all I need to do is just copy the code, paste it into ChatGPT, say, this is a problem I'm having. analyze it, tell me what's wrong. It tells me what's wrong. And in 99% of the cases, it's able to resolve my actual problem. So I think that when it comes to tasks, obviously ChatGPT now it's maybe 95% of it. I don't see myself ever really going on forums to help me with tasks and problem solving. But when it comes to research, I still think that there's a degree of suspicion regarding the quality of the output and whether it's actually going to be correct. And we do see a lot of, especially on LinkedIn, you see a lot of people screenshotting different elements being posted by ChatGPT or Perplexity that are saying completely wrong information about the company or wrong information about a specific topic. So their algorithms are still very much a work in progress. It's not yet 100% accurate. There is a degree of hallucination. There is a degree at which the way you prompt is going to yield some really random answer. I think, as I said before, these LLMs, they use a probabilistic type of mechanism whereby they predict what words go with each other. So obviously, because of the nature of that, the probabilities, there's a probability in which it's going to show the wrong information. So I still think that there's a degree of fact-checking that needs to be done behind it. On Google, which has, you know, decades of industry experience in this to be able to verify the information.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite examples with this is I have a friend who recently has become a mom. Well, not so recently, the kid is almost 1 year old. So she started giving him food. And basically, she wanted to be creative and told ChatGPT, hey, you know what, I have this and this and this. Can I whip up a healthy snack for my 1 year old with these ingredients? And ChatGPT was like, yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, mash them together, throw them into the oven, and you'll get a wonderful something. And at the end of the day, nothing worked. It was just like a huge mess of a goo. And she came back and she's like, okay. But we have to talk about this, like what happened? No, it's not magical and it's not tasty. And ChatGPT was like, oh yeah, true. It could have not worked because like this and that and your humidity is too much. And I'm like, okay, stop. You're feeding your kid that? Yeah, you know, maybe read a book, call your mom. Don't rely on ChatGPT.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds me of when AI reviews first came out and you had all these really random responses that it was giving to you, like, yeah, throw your cat in the microwave to dry it. Doctors recommend smoking 5 to 8 cigarettes a day. Again, I mean, now there's obviously much less of that, but there's still a degree at which that is prevalent, even if it's on the minute details. But those minute details in some cases make a big impact, make a big difference. So there's still a level of fact checking behind that. And it's the same thing, like maybe just some people might not want to fact check that. It's like, oh, yeah, throw a cat, my wet cat in the microwave. Yeah, let's do it. You know, and that can happen, right? That can happen completely. Or what was that another one?
It
was
like, sure, some how, cats have
how to stick, what was it? How to stick pizza or something like that. It was like, put pizza glue. And it was just recommending to put glue on the pizza. And, you know, that's just an example of the hallucination being amplified. And still today, there's on my minute levels, and even I see it with keyword.com. Like when I start typing about keyword.com in ChatGPT, there'll be some completely wrong information about keyword.com.
Yeah.
So that's, there's still a level of work to be done there for it to be fully trusted as a search engine.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I think we will be wrapping it up shortly. So one thing that I obviously want to ask is, if you guys have a hack, right? So something that really worked 3 weeks ago or whatever. I did hear about this hack from a founder that I interviewed on the podcast a couple of months earlier, so might not be relevant. But what he said basically is ChatGPT likes long form blog posts, but there is a catch. Every paragraph should only be 250 words, and every paragraph should have like a lot of value there. And like you guys were saying, so everything should make sense and every word should be, you know, easily linked to what this is about. But he is one of those examples of a beautiful success story on LinkedIn where, you know, ChatGPT has been bringing a ton of growth lately. So that was his hack. And he said they basically redid the entire blog on their website in this structure, and it worked for them. Is there anything that you did like this, or maybe differently, that worked for you, Benjamin?
Yeah, I mean, so I've heard about that. It basically functions the same way you would look at it for a featured snippet. So you want your paragraphs to be short. You want to have a TLDR, and you want to have the proper schema markup to indicate what is the most valuable information. That's definitely something that I think is just good for good SEO practices and for AEO practices in the case of appearing in these LLMs. Is something that is a quick hack, I would guess. A second one, and this is something that I've already talked about that I've been doing a lot, is to really get listed in those publications that are being referenced repeatedly across these LLMs. And you have a lot of different publications or a lot of different sources that get sourced by LLMs. They basically have an internet-sized brain and are scanning everything to be able to determine what brand does what. And so they're really, if you look at the list of citations across the list of prompts, you have a huge amount of citations, thousands of them. And it will sometimes be a Reddit comment. It will sometimes be a Quora form. And so you can get very much lost in the idea that you need to be present absolutely everywhere. But what we do find is that there are repeated situations in which a specific URL, specific publication is going to be overly cited for a specific type of topic. And so something that you can do is just really try to get yourself mentioned in that publication there. And it's not necessarily a quick hack because not everyone can do it. It's hard to get in touch with them. Everyone kind of knows about this specific strategy now. And so you have a lot more people reaching out to these authors. But if you find a way to actually work your network, get in touch with these authors and have something of value that you can provide back, and you get yourself listed there, you can increase your visibility pretty much overnight.
All right, that's a good one. Anae, do you have a hack?
Could you repeat just the question? Because that's
sure. We were talking about quick hacks. If there is such a thing as a quick hack in AEO that, you know, founders can implement now and basically, like Benjamin said, see the results overnight.
Overnight, but yes, at the moment, I would say make sure your LinkedIn company page is fully optimized, and every time you roll out a new feature, you make sure that it's mentioned there and included there, and you have control over your SaaS directory listing. So make sure you are on, keep a list of 20 or something like all there. There are many, and make sure obviously get G2 Captera. Those you have to always go for first, but make sure that you are, every time there is a new feature, make sure that you are also updating it there, or anywhere that you want to describe your product, that information is reflected across the board in that way. And then, yes, of course, we've seen with some brands that Reddit gets featured a lot, like they get included there. Medium.com is another one. But at some point, you would have to do some, you can be on Reddit, like all these things, but they have to do it systematically as well. That's not scalable if you have to do all this manual. So if you have an affiliate marketing program, make sure that you encourage your affiliates to use certain words in, you need to enforce it, but give them certain ways to describe your product. That way, when they're creating their content out there, they are also incorporating words that you want to have associated with your brand. When you're doing all your job ads and job listings with your HR department, give them certain words to incorporate in. There's always like a company profile description that often goes with job ads. Make sure things that you want to be picked up and mentioned is mentioned there as well. And that's just two examples, but really think about that way you can. That's like a natural, almost like a natural way of including this information, and it's more, it helps you to be more scalable. Just think about it systematically. Actually, like keyword.com did like a PR like article, and it was, I think, picked up by a few other people because it was one prominent, like I think it was a very popular publication, and it cost a bit to do, but we only had to do one, and then other people refer to that source to rewrite their content. So think about it that way too. Like it sometimes could be a pain or more expensive to go with these like popular publications, but we know that people use this as information source when they are writing, which again could be another layer of thinking about scalability when it comes to like using certain descriptive terms or things you want associated with your brand. So you have to start thinking about it systematically. And this is for across any advice I'll give for anyone doing SEO these days. Everything should be a system, and you should have a custom system designed for your unique situation for your brand. Therefore, you do need an SEO specialist to design the system for you. And whether you end up using an SEO specialist to execute any, that's up to you. But trust me, it's so complicated these days that you do need someone that really understands all the intricate parts and how things are nuanced and how things work together to be able to help you build the system. And that's
AI present. Visibility tracker.
So, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. I mean, every time we talk, I wouldn't say it makes it a lot easier, right? A lot of it is still confusing, especially the part that, you know, it changes so rapidly. But at least there, you know, now there is another thing to experiment with, and we can try if that works. And then if this one doesn't work, maybe we'll record something in 3 weeks. I don't know. But yeah, thank you so much. It's been super fun and very valuable. I'm pretty sure a lot of founders will find it really helpful to what they're doing. So yeah, it was fun having you here, as always.
Thank you for having us. It was great.
Pleasure.
All right. Anytime again. See you guys. And take
bye-bye.
Care. That was yet another awesome conversation on SaaS Unbound. We're always looking for new guests to share their experiences. We mostly talk with bootstrapped SaaS founders, and if you're one, reach out to me directly at anna@saas.group or find me on LinkedIn. If you're not bootstrapped or even not SaaS but have a great story to tell, we want to hear from you too. And obviously, SaaS Unbound wouldn't be possible without the SaaS Group, a founder-friendly private equity company that buys awesome businesses that people love to take them to even greater success. If you're thinking about selling your company or just exploring your options, feel free to visit saas.group, fill in the form, and expect a response in under 24 hours.